What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views, the cool waterfall mist during a hot hike, and the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors, with more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style.
Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. Visit your local Marisa's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
Can't keep Shador Sanders down, apparently. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We're saying that because Shador Sanders is going to be starting the Browns preseason game against the Carolina Panthers. And Perl, it feels like against all odds.
Yeah.
Because he was buried on the depth chart just 2 days ago. And now because of injury and because of Joe Flacco's age, now all of a sudden here comes Shador getting the call to be QB1.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the universe has its own ideas, and it feels like they want Shador Sanders to suit up for the Cleveland Browns and play football.
Yeah.
Because we got the two hamstring injuries. When does that ever happen? And Joe Flacco's 40. Who knows what's going to happen to him next? It is totally chaotic. You know, I wonder, Maggie, do you think they regret, they've famously not let Shador Sanders suit up with the first team? Maybe they will today. But do you think they regret the way they've handled this, keeping him as strictly fourth string, which I think was partly PR, because I don't think they wanted the hype of everybody putting out Twitter clips of Shador Sanders throwing to Jerry Jeudy for touchdowns, because then there's public pressure to play the high-profile rookie. Now it just seems like they have no choice.
Well, you said the universe has other ideas when you're trying to, you know, dictate whatever the Browns are trying to do. Well, this could end up backfiring them on such a big way, because instead of just giving Shador Sanders reps with the first team, you know, throughout the first week and a half or 2 weeks of training camp, now it's like he could do amazing in a preseason game with 50 times the amount of people watching potentially.
Yeah, yeah.
And now you think you have a handle on the story, forget about it. And, you know, what always seemed weird to me about this is I always felt like this competition was like loaded dice against Shador.
Definitely.
Which is so odd, though. Like, why? You decided to take
the pressure,
him in the fifth round.
Because exactly what you're saying right now. The fact that you're, like, questioning, why is this fifth round quarterback not getting snaps with one? You never ask that about any other quarterback. So just the pressure because of that last name, which is the reason he fell to the fifth round. Like, they don't want to bring that on. They just want to keep it as low profile as possible. But, again.
Then don't take him, you know?
And well. too late for that.
We didn't understand it at the time. We still don't understand it now. And, you know, in some ways, like, at this point, I'm saying Shador Sanders has to play so well to actually get considered to just even be the backup, let alone QB1. Like, we saw Trey Lance played well in the Hall of Fame game, or name any of these great preseason moments throughout history. Shador has to blow them out of the water, because I still think the competition is loaded against him.
Definitely.
The only person now who will have a say, I think, and get him to be, you know, taken seriously in this quarterback competition is the owner, Jimmy Haslam. If Jimmy Haslam sees him play well and sees the fan and crowd reaction, I think he gets involved. I think he meddles, because I think he meddled with them taking Shador in the first place.
But Kevin Stefanski will just pull up the schedule and say, do you really want him to see the Ravens, the Packers, and then the Vikings? They have to put Flacco out there against the first part of their schedule is brutally tough. They do not want it. I mean, listen, it wouldn't be fair to put Shador out against there. He's never played in the NFL. It would definitely not be fair to put Dylan Gabriel out there. So they're going with a veteran. I still believe that.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Can Shador Sanders play well enough to actually win the QB1 job in preseason? Okay, this one is a fun one. Perloff, you are such a massive fan of one TV show and one TV show alone.
Yes. Well, no, I have two TV shows that are... Have you ever had to fill out a questionnaire, what's your favorite TV show? For a long time, it was this show, The Simpsons.
The Simpsons. You talk about The Simpsons more than any other show. What's the second show?
Well, it's Always Sunny took over The Simpsons, and now I fill that out. Which, right. By the way, because the upcoming author, I read his entire. My kids are out of town, and I have to tell you, I read the whole book in one sitting yesterday, for the most part. And there are a lot of, and I have a theory about what makes The Simpsons so great, but introduce our guest.
So Alan Siegel is a senior staff writer for The Ringer. He's the author of the new book called Stupid TV, Be More Funny, How the Golden Era of The Simpsons Changed Television and America Forever. Alan and I went to college together as well, so that's really fun. Congratulations, Alan, on the book. And, you know, Perloff is actually going to be leaving on vacation after the show for the next couple days. And this is almost like a parting gift to you because you love the show so much. Alan, what inspired you to write about The Simpsons?
So I'm 42, so this is like right in my wheelhouse. And The Simpsons sort of became like an American institution, right? It's like on U.S. postage stamps. So it's not really this dangerous thing anymore. But back in the 90s, it was really edgy and, you know, like it was considered sort of transgressive, and I wanted to get into the heart of what made it really revolutionary. And that's like the first 10 years of the show. Like, I'm sure Perloff, you have theories on this, but it's that first 10 year period that like we quote all the time.
Oh, it's unbelievable. I was going to ask you, what is the greatest episode ever? I pulled up a list from 2021 in Variety, and they were all from year 4, actually. And what year are we in now with The Simpsons?
Like 35 or something?
Right.
I think it's like 37, wow. Which is insane. Right.
So did it peak in that first, say, 8 years or so?
Yeah, I think it's sort of like inarguable. Like you can't say that the new episodes are as good as the old ones, but I think the show is a victim of its own success. Like it was so good for the first 10 years that, like, everything else sort of pales in comparison, which is not even a knock on the new version of the show. It's just not as good as it used to be. And you asked for my favorite episode, and Mr. Plow, I think, is number one, just because so ridiculous. And a big part of The Simpsons was, at the beginning, like, to make things that you couldn't make on live-action TV. Mm. And so for that episode, it basically was like Homer and Barney our rival snowplow drivers, and Linda Ronstadt is a guest star, and Adam West from Batman is a guest star. So you couldn't do that on Cheers or Family Matters, and you could do it on The Simpsons.
It's number 3 on the Variety list.
Also, a great little, was a jingle. It's like, do-do-do, it's Mr. Plow.
Yeah, the two is Monorail, which everyone knows.
Yeah.
Monorail, and number 1 on this particular list for Variety's Homer at the Bat, which is also super iconic when all our favorite baseball players get into The Simpsons.
Yeah, so Alan Siegel's written a book about The Simpsons. We're talking about it because we love the show. And so the crossover with athletes and sports, were The Simpsons writers like huge sports fans, or, you know, what was the genesis there?
First of all, they were huge football like bettors. So Sam Simon was an executive producer of the show, is like this genius. And he had this ridiculous like football pool on Sundays, and they spent a lot of money, and this is just like a sign of what things were like. So Sam Simon had a satellite dish in like 1991, so he brought all the writers to watch all the games. I mean, I'm really dating myself with this story, but they were huge into sports, and that helped them make things like Lisa the Greek, which is an episode where Lisa knows how to pick NFL winners, and which is crazy. You know, there's like a character named like a Jimmy the Greek type character who they say is like, he's right 52% of the time. And, you know, Homer at the Bat, which again has 9 baseball players, ooh, which is crazy now because the idea of having sort of baseball players as guest stars on a major TV show just sounds crazy. Like, who could they pick 9 Major League Baseball players that people would know?
Yeah, no, it's so funny. I always remember that particular Monty Burns, of course, the billionaire, is the owner, the manager of the team, and he pulls Daryl Strawberry has what, 11 home runs, and he pulls him just so he can get a righty on lefty matchup. but my theory, by the way, about what makes The Simpsons so great is you detail that the Fox and the network executives kept their hands completely out of it. So these crazy football better guys had total autonomy. And that seems like, and we get in this in football, basically, or all sports, the owners need to keep their hands out of personnel. We talk about that a lot with Woody Johnson and the Jets and Jerry Jones of the Cowboys. It feels like the management kept their hands out of the creative process, and that helped it very much.
Yeah, and it's sort of a misunderstood part of the show, which, you know, again, is the no notes rule. So like it, creative execs could not, as you said, like weigh in. But really, the writers said that what made that a good thing was that they just didn't have, they didn't have to waste their time addressing sort of any concern. It could be good, it could be bad, but the same thing probably goes for sports, right? Like they just don't want to be dealing with the owner or like anyone else sort of weighing in. They just have more time to make the personnel moves that they want. Like it, even if they were good suggestions, they just, it's like too many cooks in the kitchen, and the Simpsons like didn't suffer from that.
Alan Siegel is our guest. Just a few more minutes. He wrote a book called Stupid TV, Be More Funny, How the Golden Era of The Simpsons Changed Television in America Forever. And you mentioned, Alan, that it was kind of subversive when it first started. As we were kids, I kind of just watched it as a cartoon that was on, you know, around football. And the smarter I got, the funnier the show got, you know, as you get older. But since The Simpsons, we've had South Park, we've had Family Guy, you know, this genre of like adult, you know, Adult Swim, like adult cartoons, and how they use that to make social commentary and all that stuff. You know, when you say, how did The Simpsons change America? How did they change America, in your opinion?
So you nailed it. Without The Simpsons, there would be absolutely no adult animated shows. Like back then, it was considered for hacks. Like it was My Little Pony and He-Man, and they sold breakfast cereal, breakfast cereal and toys, and that's it. But like beyond that, like I think it gave us kind of a worldview, which is like a really kind of nebulous thing to talk about. But like the thing, like it's in my DNA. I quote it. I don't even know I'm quoting it. I mean, there was a writer that said something basically like that their worldview is like that the world is a miserable, punishing place, but it's worth living. And I think like that's a good attitude that The Simpsons sort of gave me, which is like, yeah, things suck, but you like can't give up. And I think it's like a good attitude to have.
Alan, you know, this was a long time. It was the 90s, and then we had Seinfeld in the 90s and Cheers. It doesn't feel like we're in a golden era of sitcoms. My two personals are It's Always Sunny's in year 17. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, so that's going away. What We Do in the Shadows was my second favorite. That's going away. Are kids growing up with sitcoms anymore? Do they even really make a difference like The Simpsons? Is there another Simpsons ever coming down the road in today's media market?
I just think things are too fractured. Like even a show like a Game of Thrones or Succession or whatever, or White Lotus, things we talk about a lot have such a fraction of the audience of something like The Simpsons. So I just don't think you can replicate that again. I mean, I talk about how The Simpsons influenced the show like 30 Rock, which is sort of like a live action Simpsons. There are a ton of jokes. It's very dense in that way. But that show premiered like 20 years ago. So I don't see it happening anymore.
Some of the numbers, by the way, you said an episode they came against the Cosby Show. The Cosby Show got 39 million and The Simpsons got 36 or something. Those are Dallas Cowboys NFC title numbers. Yeah. Like, do those numbers exist for anything besides football anymore?
I think it's like that and like procedurals like CSI or like shows that we wouldn't even realize like are watched by the entire country. I mean, The Simpsons there was an episode that was the highest rated show on Fox in the history of the network until an NFL playoff game beat it, which again sort of shows how far Fox came by the mid 90s.
Alan, congratulations on the book. If you are a Simpsons fan, this is a must. It's Stupid TV, Be More Funny, How the Golden Era of the Simpsons Changed Television and America Forever. As Simpsons fans, this was a delight. Great to see you, and thank you so much. Congrats on the book.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Appreciate that. Just as a PS for people who have been listening to the Maggie and Perloff show for a while, you know, we did a bracket of the greatest sitcoms of all time. The Simpsons, of course, was a one seed. EJ is telling me that it lost to the Elite Eight. Lost in the Elite Eight. Do you remember who The Simpsons lost to in the Elite Eight?
Cheers, I'm guessing.
Caddyshack, too.
The Office.
The American Office.
The American Office.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, that's a powerhouse as well. By the way, just a little insight into Andrew Perloff with his kids out of town.
Which, I'm
going to meet them right now. I finished a whole Simpsons book. I saw you guys were texting back and forth about Hard Knocks, which I had forgotten was on.
Yep.
All I got was this text. Did Dion Dawkins just bring a young child into a race car? I'm like, oh, I got to watch this.
Yep, that happened yesterday.
I thoroughly enjoyed the downtime for a couple of days. I mean, gosh, EJ and Manny, like without kids, like you guys must read 100 books a day and watch thousands of movies.
Books, comic books, maybe.
I don't know how to read.
When you just said books, Manny's face was like he sucked on a lemon.
I haven't read a book since I was forced to back in probably freshman year of college.
I thought you were going to be like Hungry Caterpillar. Yeah. I wasn't sure how far back.
My first baseball book, when I first read it when I was 6 years old, that was the last book I read.
This book is really fun, but it's not exactly challenging literature. It's like if you're a Simpsons fan, it's like reading about the great episodes and the funny, funny jokes.
Yeah, Mr. Plow episode is very funny.
They talked about one joke in particular, a joke that you've said before, alcohol, the cause of and solution to every problem ever, how they came up with that joke. I mean, there's so many iconic lines that came from Simpsons, and it's still on, right?
It's still on. I don't watch it now, but yeah. I think what's funny, you were asking if there's ever going to be another Simpsons, and you know how young people may not have sitcoms now. I think it's funny that Manny, who's the youngest person on the show, watches Friends still.
Yeah.
Like you don't have, and you watch The Office, I'm sure.
I do, yeah.
But you even had to dip back into the 90s to find your sitcom.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of the sitcoms right now that are still going on, and really the only one that comes to my head that I would watch is Abbott Elementary.
Right.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
that's a good sitcom right now, and I'm trying to think of like Adult Swim shows as well. Is Futurama still on? Family Guy is still on. I mean, I wasn't really one of the Adult Swim shows, but I mean, yeah, when it comes to sitcoms right now, the only one that I can think of that's doing waves is Abbott.
My high school friend's husband is a showrunner for a show called Ghosts, which I think is consistently the number one. We all know it because we watch football on CBS.
I know every preview to every episode of Ghosts, but I've never watched 1 second. It's because it's always coming up next on CBS after the Bills game.
And it looks pretty funny.
Yeah. And you'll find out if the Simpsons are still on Fox during October when they're doing their Treehouse of Horrors marathons and whatnot.
But they did
an NFL game, remember? They did the animation where it was like taking place in Springfield. And
Alan said it. People watch TikTok, you know. You're not watching cable. Nobody has cable,
What's that?
And by the way, in the sports, I have, run a second. Can we all say that, did anyone have a moment of panic when ESPN was merging with NFL Network?
Yep.
That ESPN is going to put commercials into our red zone?
I mean, where do we write the strongly worded letter? How do we protest this? Yeah. You know?
Letter. I'm ready for pitchforks.
Football! Yeah, last year we talked a lot about, like, is the NFL hurting the fan experience by putting in, like, you have to subscribe to 800 things now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here's a funny question. So the NFL and ESPN are, NFL Network and ESPN are merging. The NFL is actually going to own 10% of ESPN. So we can talk about that from a sports media thing. That might be kind of boring. Two things, though. Do you think they would change the host of Red Zone? Do we know it's going to continue to be Scott Hansen?
It better be.
Football!
Would they try to get some of their ESPN personalities? Like, is somehow Mike Greenberg going to show up on our Red Zone?
I think I did see a tweet saying that Scott Hansen, like himself saying that he will continue to be doing
it. Yeah, he's definitely got it next year.
Like every job at ESPN, Stephen A. will come for you eventually. So watch your back, Scott Hansen. He's about to slash your tires in your car.
Stephen A. can fit in 11 hours on a Sunday to do that?
You don't want to make an enemy out of me.
11 hours of commercial-free football.
That is blasphemous.
It sounds like a threat when Stephen A. is saying it.
Can't wait till he says Justin Fields looked like he was on crack when he goes an interception.
I mean, you're right.
Who was on crack?
We don't want to get too in the weeds on sports media, but there's this new ESPN app, right? ESPN. Am I going to have to buy that now to get Red Zone? That's what I was thinking. I'm like, oh, man, is this going to cost me actual money? Because I'm already, I got my NFL Plus so I can watch the preseason bill the other day.
Yeah, that's $100.
I already paid my $450
for YouTube.
Yeah, this is actually a dangerous trend that the digitalization of sports is probably going to end up costing us a lot of money.
Oh, we
am having a very bad day.
We talk about this, how much it actually costs if you want to watch every game. You need Netflix, you need Peacock, you need ESPN Plus, you need NFL Plus, you need, I'm forgetting, YouTube. I'm forgetting one.
I'm in no mood.
I remember watching Mike White. I didn't pay, but I was like, the Jets played the Dolphins right on Black Friday, and Mike White was a quarterback, and I'm like, I'm paying for this game. This is that's a thing. It's not good, but we are such addicts.
He threw that pick six right in the first half. I remember that game.
Yeah, that was actually, I think that was
Boyle. It was a Hail Mary pick six.
I think that was Boyle, actually. That wasn't even Mike White.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
by the way,
Hail Mary pick six.
If it happened on Amazon, then we all paid a little for this one because we all order stuff.
Might be the greatest play in the history of football. A Hail Mary pick six is crazy.
What is that?
I think everyone was such in turkey comas. Like, did that even happen? Like, rub your eyes. Like, yeah.
Jeff Bezos gave a fist pump. He's like, yeah, we just made history. Yeah,
he's like orbiting the earth somewhere. All right, Pearl. Enjoy the rest of your week.
Yeah.
Have a safe vacation.
Do me a favor. Don't sync the show with any WNBA sponsorship ideas in the week I'm gone.
You don't think the WNBA could sponsor a line of sex toys? No one else thought that? Let's make a little money here, people.
Last time I was out last year, by the way, you had your Noah Lyles take.
I know. Whenever
still,
you come...
We're still getting emails about today. So just be careful, okay? That's all I'm saying. I want this house to be standing when I return.
We will keep the train right on the tracks for you, bro. We can promise you that. Okay, safe travels. Me, EJ, Manny, Gordon Damore, we're going to take you home today. And we've got a lot more fun stuff for you, including... What does a Jordan Addison 3-game suspension mean for the Minnesota Vikings? And what would a successful season look like for the following teams? Tell you next, M&P.
Wow, Jaden Daniels.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views. The cool waterfall mist during a hot hike. And the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Big moments or small moments? They all deserve great style. At Maurice's, we're here to help you show up feeling your best, no matter what's on your calendar. Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got style that fits your life and your budget. Visit your local Maurice's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome back to the Maggie and Perloff Show. Got a couple things for you on the front burners today. Number one is Shedeur Sanders, who is getting the nod to start the first preseason game for the Cleveland Browns. So that didn't take long for Shedeur to go from fourth string to first string. A couple things had to happen. A couple hamstring injuries for Kenny Pickett and Dylan Gabriel. And then Joe Flacco's 40. So it makes no sense for him to be starting preseason games. You need to keep him on ice until it actually matters. But to me, Shedeur has to so wildly outplay whatever expectations the Browns have of him. Because I don't think the Browns coaching staff and GM ever really seriously wanted Shedeur to challenge for this spot of either being QB1 or QB2. The reason for that, I have no idea. Why would you draft a guy if you don't want them to succeed? But it never felt like they were giving Shedeur Sanders a real shot to make an impact at training camp. They didn't give him reps with the first team. Kenny Pickett goes down, tweaks a hamstring, no increased reps meaningfully. Dylan Gabriel then has a hamstring issue. Still, no more reps with the first team. Very, very few. So now he's going to do the cliche of the drinking, from the fire hose, and he's going to get thrown in there as QB1. And what's going to likely happen? Likely he's not going to look all that great. Now, maybe Shador has an amazing moment. Maybe the lights turn on and all of a sudden it's go time and we see the guy we thought was going to be maybe a late first round pick, second round pick. But he's going to have to be so much better than that to turn heads. Because again, I don't think that the Browns really want him to play. And the only reason I can think, because again, it doesn't make any sense. Draft a guy, don't you want him to succeed? Is I think they believe the better he does, the more power he gets in the organization. Just like all quarterbacks, all successful ones, and you'd expect it, right? Joe Burrow can go out there and stump that he wants T. Higgins to get a huge contract, Jamar Chase to get a big contract. You know, quarterbacks that have power can make demands. I think they don't want Shador or Dion or whatever coming in to make any kind of demand. So that you're in this weird spot of, I guess we liked him enough to take him in the fifth round, but we don't want him to do too well because then we don't want him to gain any kind of leverage over anybody. It's this odd thing that the Browns are doing. Gordon Damer is here doing updates for us this morning. Hey, Gordon, how are you?
I'm good.
What do you got for us?
No end in sight with the Micah Parsons situation. His contract with the Cowboys. Yesterday, Jerry Jones said he has not talked to Parsons or his agent and that nobody in the team's front office has had a conversation with his reps since Jones thought the two sides had worked out a handshake deal. Still no sense of urgency from the Cowboys owner. Quote, we will work through it or we won't work through it. That has to be comforting to the Cowboy fans.
Nice.
Oh, that clears it up.
Yep. But Parsons, I mean, obviously, at the very least, he's going to be on the field for the season opener, right? Jerry's at least confident of that, right?
No, absolutely not. Big part of that is his decision. How would I know that?
Yeah.
I don't even work here.
Right. I wasn't supposed to be here today.
I just stumbled in. It's my day off. No, what am I supposed to do? I have no part of this. I'm just some innocent bystander is the most laughable part.
Do you think this is part of an act or do you think that he is just so delusional at this point that he actually believes that?
I have no sympathy for men. I knew that was coming. Who can tell anymore?
Yeah.
I was watching... just a quick aside, I was watching this new show on Netflix about wrestling called Unreal.
I heard it's fantastic.
Yeah, they go behind the scenes. It's still pretty manicured, but they do go behind the scenes and give you this sort of access that you never see with professional wrestling. And Cody Rhodes, who's a famous wrestler now, did an interview and he said, you know, to be honest, I don't know where I end and where the character picks up. Like he's admitted that he doesn't, after all these years, he's not really sure who is the real person. Mm. And I think about that with Jerry sometimes.
Living the gimmick, as they say.
Does he even, he says this is business as usual. That's his whole thing with Micah Parsons. I've been here, done that before. And it's like, yeah, this is just business as usual. Parsons is out there demanding a trade, all these things. And he's like, no, this is all the bit. This is all the gimmick.
There was a time, though, like I mentioned, I think yesterday, like there was a time where I think, though, Jerry Jones was seen as like a competent businessman. Like he was a real boss. Like this guy, he got Jerry World built, right? Like he built the 90s Cowboys with Jimmy Johnson. Like
that is past.
Like all that stuff, you know, he took over a Cowboys organization that was so downtrodden and they became like this power again. Like there was that kind of, you know, star to him that I think made him interesting and made him exciting. All that is so gone now.
Yeah.
Like, so he's living a gimmick that I don't think exists. Like, you know, there's a saying, like The Rock's dad has a saying, you know, always work the gimmick so the gimmick will work for you. I don't think the gimmick's working for him anymore. Because to act like, oh, I got everything under control, but also I don't know what's going on, doesn't make you look like a boss.
Yeah.
It makes you look like a clown.
I will take the role of Perloff here and laugh in NFC East. I love the Cowboys' downfall.
I know. Everyone loves the front row seat to watch the circus clown kind of get theirs.
But I mean, if we're talking about how Jerry goes about this, he usually caves in the end.
Yeah.
And the player does get on the field at some point.
Yeah, he keeps bringing up Emmitt Smith. Jerry does. He keeps bringing up Emmitt Smith, who had this famous holdout where he didn't play the first two games and the Cowboys went on to win their third Super Bowl. But that was the third Super Bowl.
That is a long time ago.
Well, that and also, you know, they were a dynasty. Mm-hmm. This is not a dynasty.
No. Yeah. That was also completely unnecessary. Like, it didn't have to happen.
They're always unnecessary with Jerry.
He acts like, oh, we had to have Emmitt miss those games in order for us to win the Super Bowl. No, he could have just signed Emmitt to the money he was worth and then him started week one. And maybe they go 15-1 in that year instead of starting 0-2. And they just dominate the rest of the season. Like, he tells a story like, oh, like, we had this thing happen, and look and behold, we won a championship. It's like, no, you won a championship because you had a great roster, not because you held out Emmitt Smith for two games. That doesn't even make any sense.
Yeah,
he keeps bringing it up.
He's living in the past.
Baseball, Yankees hit a new rock bottom last night, and that's about the only thing they hit. Had just two hits, lost the Rangers 2-0. So five straight losses for the Yankees as they now have just a half game lead for that final wild card. Even with Aaron Judge back in the lineup,
we got some work to do. You know, a lot of things to clean up, but the boys in here are fired up to, you know, change all that and get things right. And we got a great ball club in here, so it's a lot of mistakes all around. You know, some mental mistakes, some physical mistakes, but you know, guys are. We got to fix them. We got to fix them now.
Aaron Judge. You know, Jazz Chisholm got picked off the other day on a pop up to second base. I'm not sensing fired up from these guys.
No.
I'm sensing asleep from these guys. But, you know, Judge is the captain. Maybe he'll get him going.
It is interesting, though. I wonder, you know, everybody blames Aaron Boone for this or for that. You know, Aaron Judge is the Yankee captain. Right. If he wanted something changed, we're talking about the manager being changed, the fundamentals focus being changed. He's also somebody who could speak up. That's not just a
It doesn't feel like his
time.
MO, though, does That's, it?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
like,
but
is
you
he
are
a
the
coach fired guy.
I mean, you are the Yankee captain.
Oh, yeah, I get it.
But I mean, being captain, and I feel as though it's just a ceremonial type thing. I don't. There's no credence to it. It's not like in hockey or anything that you have to go and talk to the referees.
I don't know that that's true.
I mean, I feel like Derek Jeter, when he was the captain, kind of always felt like, hey, that's above my pay grade. That's management. Like, I feel like a lot of times he always deflected and said, well, that's a Cashman thing or that's a Steinbrenner thing. Like, I think in some ways Judge models himself from the Derek Jeter, you know.
Oh,
the,
absolutely.
Yeah, the idol, right? So I think that that's going to be something that's going to be difficult for him because he's like, well, Derek Jeter would have never gotten Joe Torre fired or Joe Girardi fired.
Well, I'm not
like,
even saying about the manager fired, but if you want somebody to go talk to the players, I think the talking point is that Aaron Boone either is not doing enough behind the scenes, or if he is doing enough behind the scenes, it's not working.
I'm trying to think, who's the last baseball player that you think got a manager fired?
I'm Derek Jeter. You shot me.
Whew. Got to think about that.
Yeah, I got to think about that for a while. Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't seem like it happens all that often. Like a player who has such a bad relationship with a manager that, I mean, Jim Leland like was like, yeah, he's going to fight Barry Bonds, and he never got fired.
Yeah, but that was back in the
80s. I think there's been like clubhouse mutinies 90s. Kind of, but I don't know about one guy. We've got to think about that. Anyway, back to you, Gordon.
EJ decided not to go with Wemby for his box office athlete. And looking at the polls in the last hour, maybe he should have. would you have changed your mind if you knew that Wemby has not only been spending the summer training with monks in China, but now appears to be shifting back into basketball focus? He's now working out recently with Kevin Garnett.
Oh, I love that.
I did see that.
I like that.
That picture of Kevin Garnett is so terrifying. Like, I don't know what Kevin Garnett is saying to him, but they're in like they're in the bleachers of what looks like a football field with a track.
Anything's possible.
And Kevin Garnett is just like in the distance looking menacingly. And I'm like, I don't know what's going on there, but I want no part of whatever workout Kevin Garnett's putting him through.
Yeah. Kevin Garnett. Okay, so a couple things here. You know, I kind of take it back. So do you remember when Hakeem Olajuwon was like working with every big man in the league?
Sure.
He had like his big man camp and they would come down to Houston. Hakeem told me this in an interview, Hakeem Olajuwon told me, but he did an interview that the Rockets asked him to please stop because he was basically helping to train half of their opponents.
Yep.
You know, Kevin Garnett, I know he won in Boston, but he is Minnesota Timberwolves through and through. Right? I mean, that is a guy who I still associate him more with the T-Wolves because he went back and I think he's, you know, helped out
for sure.
Front office and stuff. You can't be helping Wemby. So Western Conference team, the Timberwolves now are a contender.
I think it's different. I think
you got to gatekeep that stuff from
Wendy. I think
Wendy.
He's different than Hakeem because he has two franchises. Like, in this picture, he's wearing a Bill Russell Celtics sweatshirt, which is insane, by the way, because it's probably 90 degrees outside. That's what I'm saying. This guy is a maniac.
knew that about Garnett,
He's
though,
yelling at somebody in the distance. I don't know if he's rallying at Wemby or the cameraman, but he's wearing a full green Celtics hoodie in probably 95, 100-degree weather. In some Jordan 4s, like, that's a crazy person. If I'm the Spurs, I'm like, do I want him listening to Kevin Garnett? He might start.
I wish more people were like Garnett.
Whatever.
Garnett had a little edge.
I know. We missed those guys. Yeah. We got Draymond. He's the one. He's the one holdover.
No, he's I don't think Draymond's going to be teaching anybody. Yeah, I feel like Garnett was a little more like, I don't know, not psycho in that way.
Yeah, I mean, Draymond was choking out Rudy Gobert, like.
Ask Melo what he thinks about Kevin Garnett and his psychoness on the court.
Can't say something about someone's wife.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Yeah. I don't know that the Garnett thing is transferable, though. With Hakeem, he's teaching footwork and moves. That is transferable.
Yeah, what is the skill that Garnett is giving?
Yeah, just psycho. I don't know if psycho's transferable.
Maybe we'll find out.
Maybe they do one when they kind of have that edge, maybe. That made it feel like that's what he's missing.
The yin and the yang, no pun intended, of Monks and then Kevin Garnett.
Right. You're like getting the full scale.
Very zen and then very not zen.
And then it's probably better he went to the Monks first.
Lay the foundation.
He might have punched one of the Monks in the face.
He can't. Even the Monks can't undo all of that, Kevin Garnett. Yeah, that's a good point.
That is all I got.
That's a lot.
Okay.
Thank you for that. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Actually, I do have a question for the crowd when we come back, and something that everyone in the audience could answer. And I bet you've thought of this at least once in your life. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. Plus, we do have the latest on what's going on in Minnesota and how much harder did J.J. McCarthy's job just get. Do that next.
Throw it, man!
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. Visit your local Marisa's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Maggie and Pearl Off Show. Okay, so Gordon Damer is still here. I've got a couple questions for you and one for the audience. A couple hours ago, I'm not trying to put you on the spot. You're doing updates today for Bogus. You mentioned Jordan Addison serving 3-game suspension, got a DUI. It was called a wet DUI?
Wet reckless.
Wet reckless.
Yeah.
Which kind of sounds like something on spring break.
Yeah, it doesn't sound, it almost sounds like a movie, right? Wet reckless. Yeah. From the 80s.
A Paul Thomas Anderson movie. No, do we figure out what that was? It's bad. We know that.
It's just a... they don't have enough. They didn't feel like they had enough evidence to get a conviction at trial. So it's a plea bargain term that they use.
There. It's porn.
It is not, at least so far as we know.
Serious. Thank God nobody got hurt, Manny, joking around. But thank goodness nobody got hurt. But he is going to serve a 3-game suspension. And we're not trying to joke around about DUIs. No. But he is going to serve a 3-game suspension. So my first thought goes two places. Number one, J.J. McCarthy. If he's actually going to throw the ball, well, now he just took a big target away. And he's essentially, I look at him, Gordon, like a rookie. You know, J.J. McCarthy, even though he's second year in the program, coming off a knee surgery and knee issues. Now you just took away Jordan Addison. And then my second person I think of is obviously Justin Jefferson, who I think could catch anything at any time from anybody. I think he's the best wide receiver in the league, but he's going to get even more attention now.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that I'm sure he's going to be fine being double covered, but you've just made life so much more difficult. And Jordan Addison, this is the second thing that he has. And so I don't know, unless he really starts to get the point and get the message here, like, you're never going to be a reliable person. And so for the Vikings, you know, I don't know how important it is for them to necessarily get off to like a red hot start or how realistic that is, but they certainly put themselves behind the eight ball with this 3-game suspension. And it's Jordan Addison's fault, and he's really messing with his team here.
Yeah, Vikings open at Bears and then home for the Falcons and Bengals. So not a gauntlet, you would not think.
But one of those division games, which if this division's going to be tight, you never know. You don't want to drop, you know, those games, especially early in the season. But, you know, there's a lot of pressure on J.J. McCarthy. We were talking about this a couple days ago. Is Caleb Williams facing the most pressure of any quarterback in the league? I'd probably say yes, because the expectations are so high. But J.J. McCarthy also has to prove that he can take the keys on a team that won 14 games last year. Listen, if Sam Darnold, who was thought of up until a year ago as being an all-time draft bust, if he can get you to 14 games, I think J.J. McCarthy's got a lot of pressure. And I don't think it's just from the outside. You know, so we talked about, we're doing one question a day about each quarterback room. Today we did the Packers, but yesterday with the Vikings. And EJ, you asked if the Vikings regret drafting J.J. McCarthy. And I think what the crux of that was is that you have a team that is ready to win right now. And more so than the outside factors and pressure that comes in on a guy like J.J. McCarthy to step into those shoes and keep the ship afloat, it's the locker room. You've got veterans in the locker room. You have guys who've gotten paid. Okay, sure. But they want to win. And so I think more than whatever pressure people like me and a microphone or local fans could ever put on a guy like J.J. McCarthy, it's looking around that locker room with those veterans who have won games and then gone to the playoffs and been beaten in embarrassing ways. Giants come in and beat you at home. You have to go to Arizona because the wildfires in California play the Rams. They beat you because Sam Darnold all of a sudden turns into a pumpkin. If I'm a veteran in that locker room, I'm like, what is going on? I got this great coach. We're here. We're competing with the Lions. We're right there with them. This is our opportunity. And I can't really be waiting on J.J. McCarthy to catch up. So again, this all started with Jordan Addison now missing the first 3 games because of a DUI suspension. But the reality is he put pressure on his quarterback. And the pressure is going to be when they have to walk back into the locker room if J.J. McCarthy lays an egg in a game and look around at a guy who's 32, 33 years old who's looking at him like, get your head out of your butt. Now, listen, maybe McCarthy comes in and kills. It's possible. Jaden Daniels looked like that last year. Came in, looked immediately like he belonged. So maybe, but not easy. Not easy for J.J. McCarthy.
I think you look at some of the commentary coming out of Minnesota camp, and you can tell that they realize expectations are going to have to be tempered. Justin Jefferson last week said you definitely have to have patience. He's pretty much a rookie. You're not really expected to have that same mindset as a veteran. You can't really have the expectation from him. So, like, that's a direct quote from Justin Jefferson, who's catching balls from McCarthy, basically telling you right there, hey, listen, like, whatever you think we're supposed to be, you might have to slow your roll at least to start this season because we are dealing with a first-year player.
Well, and also, that really sounds really nice and patient to say on August 5th or 6th. if it's coming off of a devastating loss to the, who'd you say, Falcons is one of the
right.
first teams they
Bears
play?
Bears is one, too. Ugh, yeah.
That's not going to be as fun. And the words are not going to be that patient, fair or unfair for McCarthy. So that's a little what's going on in Minnesota. Have a question that I thought at one point or another, anyone who's listening to the sound of my voice has thought of this. Because people say it to me. I'm sure they've said it to you. I wish I had your job. Or I think I could do this. I think I could be a sports talk radio show host. I think a lot of people believe they can do it. It's not easy, but I encourage everyone to try because it's a lot of fun. Now, I do that with people I see on TV. I look at people on TV and some are making huge money. I'm not talking about ESPN or other sports. I'm talking about non-sports. And I think, I could do that job. I could do that job and I would be great at it. I ask you, if you could switch places with anyone on television, who would it be? And again, I'm going to take sports out of it because I've done a lot of sports on TV. I'm not talking like I want to go sit in for Stephen A., not that. I've got two answers of mine. I'll let you guys do yours. I think I could be Kelly Ripa in a different life.
Will?
I'd have to be a little smaller, a little perkier, a little blonder. But she makes 20.
Stay off the weed.
How dare you, Manny? She makes $20 million a year. I think I could yakety yak with, the cast of Law and Order for 20 mil. That's number one. Number two, I think I could trade places, and I would have loved to have traded places with the late Alex Trebek. No one enjoyed a more elevated status in society for having the answers than Alex Trebek. Everyone thought he was that smart. Gordon, he had the answers.
Yeah, he had the answers, right. It's
but
a very
we treated
easy.
Him like right. he was writing the questions.
Right.
Like, oh, you 19th century literature? You didn't know that question, you moron? He's got the
yeah.
Got
he
the
didn't,
answers.
And he didn't think of it as it was happening. It's on a card yeah. right in front of him.
Hamlet. It's like, no, you didn't come up with Hamlet. No. You never knew it was Hamlet. Anyway.
And he never made it out like, oh, that was a tough one. You know what I mean? He always right. made it out like, oh, you're you
gonna
don't know this?
You're going to kick yourself when I tell you yeah. it was D'Artagnan who was the other three musketeer.
Yeah.
So
I would say, to me, the easiest job that has ever existed would be Pat Sajak when he had it.
Right. Another game show.
They used yeah. to record 5 shows a day. He would only work 39 days a year and made bank. You know, Kelly Ripa, she's doing that regularly.
She does work every day.
Yeah,
it is a
that's
grind.
A lot. Yeah.
I guess I'm kind of used to that schedule.
I'm looking most money, fewest days.
And Pat Sajak, I think, was sitting front row for 160 Dodger games, something like
it's
that.
It's a good. He was not missing much time. He could work those things yeah. out to, you know, get the holiday version in July. You know, those 39 days that he worked, he squeezed a lot into. And if I couldn't do that, I think I could do Vanna's job. That I'm confident. I could just hit a button and have the letter turn.
Yeah.
Although spelling sometimes is not always my strong suit. So.
Do you look like Vanna in evening?
No,
wear?
I do
no.
not.
See,
yeah.
You're out.
I mean, if we're dreaming, you know.
Yeah, no, it's a good gig. Really good gig.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys could trade places with anyone on TV, non-sports.
Yeah, because sports, I was going to say, like, Wally Zerbeck, so I could just be on Knicks postgame every day, just yelling about the Knicks. So it's not sports. The two people that came to mind, one was Maverick Carter.
But he's not on TV. Oh, I guess he's got the shop. Yeah,
so you're, okay. You're on the shop with
LeBron's
LeBron.
Guy.
And he's also like kind of a TV mogul-ish guy too. So I'm also cutting business deals. So you don't have to be on camera all the time and you're also making a lot of money. So I like Maverick Carter's deal. But then the other
feels
guy.
Feels like a lot of work.
I don't know. Is it a lot of work to just make pitches and make people write pitches to? I don't know. It doesn't seem like that bad.
Yeah, you have to follow up on those things.
Yeah, ChatGPT could probably write
But I'm
that.
A big rap fan, so the second one would probably be like Joe Budden. Like if I got to host like
podcast.
A podcast where I could just talk about like human life and rap all day and do that twice a week.
How much money is he making out of that though?
Apparently he's making $20 million a year now with the Patreon deal.
Wow. Okay, Manny, you could trade places with anyone on TV.
Everyone that I'm thinking of is sports. I don't have anybody. Like Mike Breen, I would love to have his life. I kind of want to be Pat McAfee. There's just endless amounts of people that I kind of want, but they're all related to sports.
Okay, but these guys also are working insanely hard. We have our joke about Pat McAfee that they cloned him long ago so that he could be in all these different places at once. I think Gordon and I have the better option here, which is just, you know. A lot of money.
If you get on TV, you're going to make a lot of money.
I just want to have fun.
Al Roker, that's a good one.
Yeah, I just want to have a lot of fun.
I'm
not sure if I'll have fun hosting, like, you know, Wheel of Fortune.
You don't think so?
I don't think I would. Not me.
Price is Right is different, though.
The money would be great, and it's not a lot of work, but I feel like those 39 days, I'd be like, okay, got it.
Oh, no, you might hate those 39 days. Those 39 days are going to be jam-packed, and there's only so many funny quips you could have at one time, but it's only 39 days.
Yeah, maybe, that's also the challenge.
Maybe, again, sports. Jeff Teague, I mean, he has a podcast that's starting to rise up, and he just does not care at all about what he says.
I know, but he had to put in all those years running laps.
Yeah, you have to be an NBA player, though. That's a problem.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a problem?
No, but that's, I mean, have you ever seen those guys' feet?
I'm sorry I pigeonholed myself into just liking sports. That the only people I can think of are sports people.
I know. How dare you be so one-dimensional?
Ugh, that's what my ex-girlfriend says.
And that's where we're going to leave. Thank you, EJ Stewart. Thank you, Manny Rodriguez. Gordon Damer, thank you. Andrew Kaplan. Thanks to Alan Siegel, who joined us. Talk about his book about The Simpsons. If you're into that kind of thing, which we all are. We'll see you tomorrow. I'm sure we'll have more updates on Micah Parsons. Maggie and Perloff Show.
He's a player.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery, though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.